Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1200. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Surveillance.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow, along with Tom Keene and Michael McKee, and the opening bell brought to you by SEI. Imagine a global operating platform designed to deliver a differentiated and technologically rich investor experience. Find out how SEI can help you succeed at seic.com/imagine. Stocks lower at the open. The S&P 500 down 0.1% or 2 points to 2063. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 0.2% or 33 points to 17,675. The Nasdaq's down 0.1% or 5 points to 47.69. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd. The yield 1.75%. The yield on the 2-year 0.80%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% or 10 cents to 47.82 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed at 1274.40 an ounce. The euro $1.1325. The yen 109.24. Tom and Mike.
Michael, it is the French Concession, not the French Connection. The French Concession of 1849. And it is at the beginning of this extraordinary book. And I say that, Michael, because none other than Peter Hessler of Oracle Bones says, shut up and read this book. And that's an important thing because young Hessler, who I think I've interviewed three times, changed younger nonfiction, single-handedly changed the language with Oracle Bones about a decade ago, which is a good way to start here.
Well, Rob Schmitz is a China correspondent for American Public Media's Marketplace, and he did something very interesting. He went Shanghai is a big story in China business. My daughter was just there, actually, on business. Has to go a couple times a year. Your son works there, so
cash flow lives there.
Yeah, it is. It is front and center for this program. Rob went and immersed himself in one small part of the city that sort of tells the story of the massive changes that have come to Shanghai. Now, in English, we would call it mangle the language, but I'll try this. Chengdu is the street in Chinese, but as the title of your book is, the street of eternal happiness is how it translates.
That's right. That's right. Thank you so much for having me on, by the way. But yeah, in Chinese, it's called Chengdu, which is Long Happiness Road, otherwise known as the Street of Eternal Happiness.
What did you find on Chengdu?
Well, what I found, well, first of all, I live on that street. So I had done a year
found
long.
Found a pizza place.
Exactly. I found a pizza place. I found a place to do my clothes. But I live on that street in Shanghai, and I did a year long radio series for Marketplace. And while I was doing that series, I realized, you know, this material that I'm getting, because basically the series was focusing on everyday people who live and work on a single street in China's biggest city. And I wanted to figure out how these folks were coping with all the economic change that's happening in China in the 21st century, how they see themselves in China, and what is their role, what are their dreams? Because a lot of them have already gotten to the point where they've made money and they're looking elsewhere for their dreams. And so after meeting a lot of them, I decided, well, this, you know, a lot of the drama that I captured in the series, I thought, oh, this would make a really interesting book, because a lot of their stories weren't really local stories. They weren't really stories about this one street or even the city, but they were pretty universal, because a lot of these folks have connections not only throughout China, but throughout the world.
Are they, they're sort of like us in a way?
I think they're a lot like us. You know, a lot of people, you know, I think that when we see the headlines from China, it's very easy to see China as the other, right? You know, we see the party, for example, because they dominate a lot of the news that comes out of China. But I think that the people of China are very, very similar to the people of the United States. They have they feel very secure about their country. They're very patriotic. They travel a little, but sometimes when they go abroad, they go in groups, you know, and they also have a really good sense of humor, and they're great people.
If you're just joining us, Street of Eternal Happiness, Big City Dreams along a single Shanghai, road. Rob Schmitz is with us. Your chapter box of letters is borderline heartbreaking. The idea of the Cultural Revolution. I believe we're at the 50th anniversary.
That's right.
Of it. Have the people of the street recovered and the descendants recovered from a most difficult and challenging moment?
Tom, I don't think you can ever recover from something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, the people that are in their 60s in China, they grew up during this era. And right. they grew up either as Red Guards, punishing other people, bullying other people, or they were victims of the Red Guards, being tortured, being bullied because they had an object that was deemed a bourgeois or bourgeoisie, right? And these folks grew up also without any sort of education because schools were closed during that time because they were going after teachers as well. And so every single career decision that these folks had up until the point where they were about 30 or 40 years old was made for them by the party. And so when we had the reform and opening in China, you know, with Deng Xiaoping in the late 80s and early 90s, when capitalism started to kind of seep into China, these folks were really lost. And there's one character in my book, Auntie Fu, who gets caught up in this range of pyramid schemes. And she takes me to all these investment meetings for these ridiculous pyramid schemes where she's obviously getting scammed. And I'm trying to make sure that she gets out of these things, but she's dumping her pension into it. But the thing is, she sees her surroundings as, look, I'm in the middle of the wealthiest city in China. Why aren't I wealthy? What's wrong with me? But she was really never taught to do that because she was basically ordered around for most of her life.
Mm-hmm. Well, it raises the question of how people cope with the rapid change that's happened in China. I mean, the United States grew into the world's largest economy over a longer period of time, and a lot of external events like World War II played a big role.
Right.
In China, it's internal and it's very quick.
It's internal and it's quick, and you know what? It's also something that people don't like to talk about. They don't like to reckon with that history. So when you talk to folks about, for example, the time of the Great Famine, which was the 4 years between 1957 and 61, where Mao's goal was to basically make China an enormous steel-producing country, ended up killing 36 million people because they starved to death. That's something that not only do people not talk about that very much, but the party basically is bans any sort of, any books about it or anything like that. But it's difficult to get these stories out of folks.
If you had to rewrite or assist the wonderful Jonathan Spence with a new edition of The Search for Modern China, what would be the chapter you would write?
I think what I would write, that's an incredible book, and I could never dream of writing any kind of addendum to that book. But I think the one thing that we've seen since the writing of that book is the era of big dreams,
which is throughout your book,
right? Right. And right now, the state, right, the Communist Party under Xi Jinping has the Chinese dream. And that's an effort to corral everyone's dream into one dream for the nation. You know, put the party first and your dream second. But I think in some ways that Chinese dream was a reaction to this just plethora and this range of dreams that everyone had.
Yeah, but where's that dream right now? I mean, Peter Hessler's books across 2-3 books changed. China
right.
changed.
Right.
Where's China going to be in 2 and 3 years? Is their formula of capitalism forever altered?
I think that once this series of leaders is aged out, because this Xi Jinping is from the Cultural Revolution era, we're going to see some interesting changes in China because the next generation of leaders, they are very, very different from Xi Jinping's generation. They grew up during a time of prosperity. They didn't grow up during a lot of the chaos. And they have it in their mind that, for them at least, that capitalism mm-hmm. works as long as it's regulated and mm-hmm. as long as people have rights underneath that financial system.
Michael, I hate you. Perfect. You brought this book in here. I have to read this because cash flow would never forgive me if I didn't read it.
Exactly. Terrific book. Rob Schmidt, Street of Eternal Happiness. Thanks for obviously with the big changes coming for the second edition, we'll have you back.
Thanks a lot.
My regards to everybody at Marketplace as well. Yeah. They do a wonderful, wonderful
indeed
product. -71 on the Dow, the VIX 15.12. Bonds churn after interesting economic data today. Brent, 48. $48.98 a barrel, almost $49.
This hour of surveillance brought to you by Palisades Audi. Visit PalisadesAudi.com. Here's Michael Barr with news headlines.
Mike, Tom, thank you very much. The National Transportation Safety Board plans today to discuss the probable cause of last May's Amtrak crash in Philadelphia that killed 8 people. An official briefed on the investigation says the train's engineer was distracted by radio transmissions before the train reached a sharp curve at double the speed limit before it derailed. Ohio Governor John Kasich is speaking out about Donald Trump for the first time in a major interview since exiting the presidential race. Kasich told CNN he's skeptical of Trump's ability to unite the Republican Party and Americans, and he'd like to see more consistent policy positions from the candidate. And as for endorsing Trump,
it would be very hard for me, unless he were to change all of his views and become a uniter, for me to get in the middle of this thing. Because, you know, I'm undecided here about what I'm going to do in this race.
Kasich also ruled out taking part in a third-party run. The International Olympic Committee says 31 athletes have tested positive in reanalysis of their doping samples from the 2008 Beijing Olympics. The IOC says all those athletes infringing anti-doping rules will be banned from competing in Rio. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by our 2,400 journalists and more than 150 news bureaus around the world. I'm Michael Barr. Mike, Tom.
Michael Barr, thanks so much. Again, 109.13, the euro, 113.32. Again, the book, Street of Eternal Happiness, Rob Schmidt on a single street in Shanghai. Good morning.
Bloomberg Surveillance is brought to you by National Realty. 30% returns on cash in rented real estate. Find them at nria.net.